You know, part of what we do when it comes to Christmas is give gifts. Isn't that one of the cool parts about Christmas celebration? It is one of those things that we do. We anticipate giving gifts. We anticipate receiving gifts. It's a good time. And yet, where does that come from? It comes out of, actually, I think, the heart of Christmas. Not that we should get distracted or focused on it, but it comes out of the fact that God is a gift-giving God. And what we celebrate at Christmas is probably the greatest manifestation of that. That God chose to send his son, and it is in that gift that we can now celebrate, and we can talk about the various gifts, the things that we receive with this Christmas season. I'd like to point out that it was the angel who proclaimed to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That whole phraseology is so fascinating to me, that the sign of what God is doing will be this baby who is wrapped in a manger. You will find a baby, and this will be a sign that God is doing something, that a Messiah, a Savior, has come. And that news, friends, should elicit in us, it was announced by the angels, that it should have a very specific response. Did you catch what it was? What it should be for all people? Great joy. Great joy. That is what the angel said would be ours in the midst of whatever it is that life throws our way, that because of the coming of Christ, we are invited to receive this thing that the angel refers to as joy, and that should be our breath. That should be our air. That should be what we live on, no matter what may come otherwise, and yet we find that joy is difficult for us, isn't it? We often don't rest in joy. We often find ways of being distracted by all the things that go wrong and steal from us that ability to receive that joy. But the angel didn't say that nothing would ever go wrong. The angel simply said that this is great news that will cause great joy. It was C.S. Lewis who said this about joy. He said that joy is the serious business of heaven. I love how he said that, because it is. It is the business of heaven. We can't generate it. Sure, we can be happy. We can celebrate good things. We can celebrate when things go our way, and we rejoice in that. But there is something deeper, something beneath that, that we are invited to, that often, again, that we tend to lose track of, or we miss out on it. And that's the day-to-day to walk in the awareness of God's presence and his salvation that will be the source of our joy. I have a short little video clip. We're going to watch it. But I want you to notice there's a little girl here, and she is going to be singing as part of a children's choir. And I would like you to watch her and to see if you can see something going on in her that maybe is a little bit different from all those around her. See that little girl, little blonde girl on the right? Please enjoy a few minutes. She hasn't even started singing yet. Look at that. Are you ready? Here she comes. Ain't nothing going to steal my joy. Not hers. I just love that clip. I just love all the kids. And that's the thing. I would think if I was in that crowd, I'd be looking at her like, what in the world's going on over there? But yeah, they don't. That's just her. I got a hunch they've seen it before. She's just one of those joyful people. Do you know those people? They irritate the heck out of you most of the time, but you know, but it's really what we're all called to be. There's a sense of something that is so good that we miss out on. And that's what I love what that clip just says, this is what it's about. Webster's Dictionary says this is what joy is, and I think they miss it because they have to miss it. They cannot take it in the context of spiritual reality and what the angel announced. But Webster says this about joy. It says it's the emotion evoked by well-being, okay? Success or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Like when you're anticipating getting something, you can be your joy about it, you can expect, and you can be excited about it. That's what it says. But for those of us who are followers of Christ and have heard that story of the coming of Jesus, we know that it's more than that. And this is what the New Testament would say. It's an inward sense of well-being that is rooted in the confidence of belonging to Jesus. That's what it means. That's what it means, folks. We talk about Christmas, and we talk about the stress, and we talk about all the stuff that goes on. But the reality is that underneath it all, if we can somehow push that other stuff to the side, that Christmas means that we belong to Christ, and if we so choose, He belongs to us. And that becomes the source of this thing called joy. It is that salvation that is brought to us through Christ that becomes the root of this joy. But notice what happens here to Mary. Remember the story of Mary. She has this experience with the angel before she conceives, and it's got to be a frightening thing to be confronted by the angel and then be told that she's going to bear a son, even though she's a virgin. And she says, how can this be? And the angel says, don't worry, the Holy Spirit's going to come over you, it's going to overshadow you, and you're going to bear a son. He's going to be called Son of the Most High. And she says, yeah, whatever. Seriously, that's what in the Greek it translates, yeah, whatever you say, may it be. And so there's this sense of, my gosh, there's all these things, even this foreboding. What's going to mean for her to be a single, pregnant woman in this day? What's going to mean for her in relation to her soon-to-be husband, Joseph? And what's that going to mean for the community that now looks upon her in this way? All these things, all these fears, all these concerns that may fill her mind. And yet, what does Mary say? Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. You see, in the midst of trial, in the midst of concern, in the midst of fears, there's a sense of that this issue that Mary's able to hold on to. If Joseph was our man for peace last week, Mary is our woman for joy. But the real joy of Christmas comes not in the hurrying or the scurrying or getting more done, nor is it found in the purchasing of gifts. We find real joy when we make the Savior the focus for the season. The Savior the focus for the season. Because no matter how uncertain her future may now be, there is a joy that wells up in her because of this fact that she rejoices in God my Savior. See that? For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. This New Testament joy does not erase our problems. It doesn't remove the hurts. It doesn't deny the troubles we face, but it simply wells up in spite of them. And that is the joy. That is the good news, that because of Christ, we have this joy. But it's not just the New Testament. I will show you that this is also in the Old Testament. Look at some of the prophets in the Old Testament. We'll go back to a book called Habakkuk, and I'm sure many of you have been reading that devotionally this week. Right, Dee? That wasn't on your devotional list this week? It must have been last week. Some great stuff there in the book of Habakkuk. In chapter 3, it talks about how, it's about though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. This sounds like a pretty bleak time, doesn't it? Okay, so what, because of all those things, what now does Habakkuk have to say? And the next line is this, yet I rejoice in what? in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Do you see a theme? It begins to run both Old Testament as well as then certainly through Mary and into the New Testament, that there is a reason for us to rejoice despite our circumstances because of this reality of the Savior being in on the way or in our midst. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. I love that imagery too, that there is something about this way of life that is treacherous for us. And sometimes we can lose our footing, but he says, no, it is God who gives us these feet that don't ever seem to lose their footing. Like the deer in the mountain, that they are just remarkable at how they can scamper here and there. He says, that's what God does for us because of this joy that as we come to understand what God has already done, that there is something in us that just should be just welling up despite the circumstance that comes in our way. So just in wrapping up, I'll come to John 15 in just a moment. There is a joy that is our gift that is not dependent on the circumstances. Happiness is dependent on what is happening. It's kind of how the word works. Joy ought to be something a little bit more. Joy ought to be something of sustaining that it will help us even when things around us are not happening as we would want. But there's a way to kickstart it as well. Jesus spoke in John 15 about this thing called joy, and he says, this is how you can begin to kickstart this joy in you. He said, obey my commands, and you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Okay, that's good. Obey the commands. I will do that. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that you, your joy may be complete. So he's saying there's a connection here. If we are able to obey his commands, then there is going to be something in us that begins to respond to joy. If we didn't know what command we should start with, Jesus went right to it. This is my command. Anyone know what he said? Yeah, who said that? Joey, very good. This is the command, to love one another. This becomes the command that Jesus says will be the priming the pump. If there's a sense of joy that seems to have vacated because of the challenges of life, this is how we can begin to get it back, by beginning to extend love to those around us. That's why Christmas is, again, another great time for us. It reminds us of the fact that as we love one another, there is something in us that gets triggered, and it's this thing called joy. But it is rooted in this God's love for us and the gift to us that Christ brings to us. So that's what enables us to do things like come tonight and sing great songs and maybe even dance a little bit, you know, about the great news that's captured in these songs. It gives us a chance to say, joy to the world. Why? Because I'm getting what I asked for at Christmas. No? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Yes. The Lord has come. Joy to the world. The Savior reigns. You know, all this other stuff. I get what I wanted. Maybe I'm going to get a tax break next year. Whoo, that's all good. You know, the kids are coming home for Christmas. That's all good. But the Savior reigns. That's where the joy begins to come. So that even when the kids go back, or even when it's not as good as you'd hoped for because they came home, yeah, usually it lasts for a little while, but this joy I'm talking about should last longer than that, okay? Or even if you don't get the tax break you were hoping for, or things don't go at work the way you kind of anticipated this year was going to go, the joy remains because the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Father, I thank you that you have given us something that we cannot make for ourselves. This is your business. It is the business of heaven. to do for us what we are unable to do, to provide for us a Savior that we can celebrate his arrival this Christmas season, to provide for us something that we cannot make in ourselves, a joy which can endure despite the circumstances that go and run against us, that is not rooted in what happens, but it is completely sourced in your goodness to us. God, I pray that you would help us to simply experience a little bit more of what it means for us to be a joyful people and to bear it, not only in our bodies and on our faces, but to bear it in our heart that all the world might begin to see. God, this joy that came at Christmas is now ours to bear and ours to share. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.